Imagine trying to sell your house, right? And your real estate agent sits you down at the kitchen table to give you the monthly market update.
Always a tense moment.
Oh, totally. They look you dead in the eye and they say, well, good news and bad news.
Right.
The average home in your county just went up in value by almost 5%. But the middle of the market, you know, the median price, it just crashed by 14%.
Yeah, try making sense of that as a normal homeowner.
Exactly. How can both of those things be true at the exact same time? Well, welcome to the late July 2026 real estate market.
It is, it's a statistical funhouse out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are only looking at the surface level headlines, you are going to get completely disoriented.
Which is exactly why we're here. Because there is this very specific type of panic that sets in right around late July.
Oh, yeah. The August deadline.
Right. If you are anywhere near the great state of Texas right now, you are feeling it. We are in the absolute thick of the dog days of a Texas summer. I mean, the heat is just radiating off the pavement.
And brutal out there.
It is. And families are desperately trying to squeeze in that last lake weekend, while buyers and sellers are just scrambling in a total sweat to close on homes before the new school year starts.
There's an undeniable psychological deadline that hits in August.
Yeah.
The laid-back vibe of early summer completely evaporates. Suddenly, every single transaction feels like, I don't know, diffusing a ticking clock.
Yeah.
Because people want those keys in hand before the first school bell rings.
Totally.
And when people rush, they tend to rely on gut feelings instead of reality.
Which usually leads to very, very expensive mistakes. So today, our mission is to cut through that summer heat and bring you some cold, hard clarity. We are going to make sense of a massive stack of real estate data that we've compiled.
And it is a mountain of data.
It really is. But we aren't just looking at the national map or skimming over the entire state. We are throwing a dart and zooming all the way in on Montague County, Texas.
Montague is the perfect laboratory for this deep dive. It's a market that exposes the flaws in how most people read real estate data. We have an extensive amount of material to work through to get the true picture of what is actually happening on the ground there.
So for you listening, here is the roadmap of our sources today. We are pulling from the June 2026 local market update. We're cross-referencing that with the Q2 2026 MarketWatch quarterly report.
Both crucial.
Yeah, and we are digging heavily into the North Texas Real Estate Information Systems, or NTREES, their MLS summary report covering the spring in Q1.
Right.
We're also layering on the current mid-July Dallas-Fort Worth mortgage rate data. And to keep us grounded in reality, we are weaving in some incredibly detailed contextual notes provided by Pete Realty.
Because without that mountain of data, you're just flying blind. You really cannot understand a nuanced rural market without cross-referencing the broader regional trends with hyper-local boots-on-the-ground experience.
Yeah, and we have some wild anomalies to explore today. We are going to decode that pricing paradox I mentioned at the top of the show.
That one is fascinating.
It's bonkers. We're going to explore the surprising, almost unbelievable collapse in how long it actually takes to sell a house right now, despite an overflow of inventory.
Right.
And for those of you dreaming of wide open spaces, we are going to look at the stark, unfiltered reality of trying to buy or sell rural Texas land in this exact economic moment. Okay, let's unpack this.
Let's do it.
Starting with the macroeconomic weather system that is dictating everything else. Before we drive up to Montague County, we have to talk about what is happening in the broader Dallas-Fort Worth region and, you know, the national landscape.
You have to. You cannot isolate a local county from the gravity of national interest rates. And this year has been a complete masterclass in market volatility.
Let's talk about the head fake we got earlier this year, because looking at the National Association of Realtors data in our stack, U.S. existing home sales had a surprise bump back in the spring.
They did, yeah.
We saw a 1.7% month-over-month increase, hitting a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 4.09 million. For a minute there, the narrative was, you know, buyers are back. The deep freeze is over.
All right, everyone got excited.
But that was entirely reliant on some very temporary rate dips, wasn't it? Because looking at the mid-July 2026 reality we're sitting in right now, the environment is completely different.
It is. That spring bump was a perfect behavioral economics case study.
How so?
Well, it showed us just how hypersensitive today's buyer pool is to even a microscopic fluctuation in the cost of borrowing. When rates dipped briefly in the spring, a pent-up wave of buyers who had been sitting on the sidelines just rushed through the door.
Right. They saw a window and jumped.
Exactly. It wasn't a structural change in the economy. It was a flash sale. And as we look at the mid-July numbers for DFW, That door has firmly swung back shut.
Let me read these mid-July numbers out loud so you can hear the headwind buyers are actually facing today.
Go ahead.
The average conventional 30-year fixed rate in the DFW area is hovering right at 6.5%. And the estimated annual percentage rate, the APR, is 6.69%. I want to contrast this with the data we have from just April of 2026, where rates had slipped down to 5.99%.
Which was that flash sale we were just talking about.
Right. Now, a half a point difference might sound like pocket change, but on a monthly payment, it is catastrophic for purchasing power.
It fundamentally alters the debt-to-income ratio for a standard family. I mean, it is the difference between qualifying for the home you actually want and being forced into a property that requires massive compromise.
Yeah.
Because of that 6.55% wall, buyers are desperately looking at alternative financing to soften the blow.
Like what?
Well, the 15-year conventional rate, for instance, is sitting notably lower, averaging 5.93%.
But the math on a 15-year loan is brutal for a first-time buyer. Yes, you get a sub 6% interest rate, but you are compressing the entire principal repayment into half the time.
Right, exactly.
The monthly payment on a 15-year loan is significantly higher than a 30-year loan, even with the better rate. It requires a tremendous amount of monthly cash flow.
Which is exactly why the 15-year is largely utilized by older, established buyers.
People with equity.
Right. People who are downsizing and bringing massive equity from a previous sale. It really does not help the median income buyer.
So what do they do?
That brings us to the FHA 30-year option, which is the traditional lifeline for lower down payment buyers.
Right.
The base rate there is averaging 6.13%.
Let me stop you there because the base rate is deeply misleading, and I want to make sure I am explaining this correctly for anyone currently shopping for a mortgage.
Please do.
The base rate is 6.13%, but the APR, the annual percentage rate, which measures the true total cost of the loan over a year, is spiked all the way up to 6.82%.
Yep.
That massive gap exists because of the mortgage insurance premiums, right? The FHA charges an upfront premium at closing, plus a monthly premium, to insure the loan since the buyer is putting down less than 20%.
That's right.
When you factor those mandatory insurance costs into the math, your real effective borrowing cost is nearly 7%.
That is an incredibly important distinction. The APR represents your actual financial burden. The base rate is just the marketing number. And when your APR is 6.82%, there's no easy escape hatch.
So we have to answer the biggest question in the room. Why? Why are we stuck in this mid-6% mud? Earlier in the year, there was a widespread assumption that by summer, we would see serious relief.
To understand the why, we have to move away from looking directly at mortgage rates and look at the foundation they are built upon.
The bond market.
Exactly. Our source data highlights what analysts call the 10-year Treasury connection. Mortgage rates do not exist in a vacuum. They aren't just arbitrarily set by local banks.
Right.
They track the yield on the 10-year Treasury bond, which is essentially the global baseline measure for economic confidence and inflation expectations.
Let me try to translate this, because I think a lot of people just see these two lines moving in parallel on a graph and assume it's magic.
Go for it.
So if I am a major institutional investor, say a massive pension fund, I have a choice. I can buy a 10-year Treasury bond, which is backed by the U.S. government and is considered virtually risk-free, or I can buy a bundle of 30-year residential mortgages, which are called mortgage-backed securities. But mortgages have risk. People default on them. People refinance and pay off the loan early. Because I am taking on that extra risk, I demand a higher return. I demand a spread above that safe 10-year Treasury yield.
That is the exact mechanism. Mm-hmm. And currently, that 10-year yield is acting as a stubborn floor. It has remained above 4%.
Wow.
Because inflation has been sticky and the broader economy has been surprisingly resilient, the bond market requires a 4% yield to justify tying up capital for 10 years. Add the historical spread you just mentioned, the premium investors demand to buy mortgages instead of government bonds, and you mathematically arrive at a 6.5% to 7% mortgage rate.
And the Federal Reserve's quantitative tightening plays a role here too, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Because the Fed used to be the biggest buyer of these mortgage-backed securities, which kept that spread artificially low. Now they are letting them roll off their balance sheet, meaning private investors have to buy them, and private investors demand a higher yield.
You've hit on the structural shift in the market right there. We are no longer in an era of artificial market support. Until macroeconomic indicators cool down enough to force the 10-year Treasury yield down closer to 3%, mortgage rates are structurally propped up.
Well, we do have some optimism in our data stack. Looking at the forecast, specifically from the Texas Real Estate Research Center at Texas A&M University, they are projecting an easing of rates.
Yes, they are.
They're pointing toward a window of 5.0% to 5.6% by late 2026, assuming inflation continues to behave and the Fed finally starts cutting their benchmark rate.
That forecast is the light at the end of the tunnel that a massive portion of the buyer pool is staring at right now.
Yeah.
They're treating it as a reason to hold off on buying. But making housing decisions based on macroeconomic forecasting is a highly dangerous game. The bond market is notoriously unpredictable.
Totally.
More importantly, human lives do not pause for favorable yield curves. Marriages happen, jobs relocate, families outgrow their current square footage.
Waiting for interest rates to magically drop below 5% right now is a bit like standing in the July Texas heat waiting for a random cold front to roll through.
That is a great way to put it.
I mean, sure, historically, it might happen eventually. But you might be standing out there waiting for a very, very long time, and you're going to get burned in the process. You are much better off finding some shade right now.
That analogy perfectly describes the current buyer mentality for those who are actually closing deals.
Yeah.
Yeah. They aren't waiting for the macroeconomic cold front from the Federal Reserve. Mm-hmm. They are engineering their own shade through local market dynamics. Because inventory has increased in the broader DFW region, buyers finally have leverage.
Yeah.
They're utilizing seller concessions, specifically rate buy-downs.
I see this constantly in the data right now. Instead of negotiating $10,000 off the purchase price, which, you know, barely changes the monthly payment, the buyer asks the seller to pay $10,000 at closing to buy down the interest rate. It temporarily or permanently lowers the borrower's rate to something more manageable, like 5.5%. The seller still gets their home sold without a massive price reduction on the listing, and the buyer get a monthly payment they can actually afford.
It is financial engineering born out of necessity.
Yeah.
And we are seeing this play out heavily in the Dallas metro area, which has seen a sharper price correction.
Like a 4.1% year-over-year drop.
Right. Sellers in the Metroplex are having to negotiate.
But if DFW is the macro weather system, we need to talk about the microclimate, because the rules that govern the dense Dallas suburbs do not perfectly map onto the rural landscape just an hour or two away.
They really don't.
Let's drive up Highway 287 and look at how this specific economic climate is impacting the hyperlocal, boots-on-the-ground market of Montague County.
This is where the data becomes incredibly nuanced. A rural market like Montague operates on a completely different frequency than the Metroplex. The data points we are about to explore defy standard residential logic.
Let's start with the foundation of any market. Supply. We are going to zoom in on Montague County's June numbers. In June, there were exactly 219 homes sitting on the market.
Okay.
If you look back a year ago, there were 217 homes. So year over year, the raw number of houses for sale is practically flat. It is a microscopic uptick of less than 1%.
On the surface, if you only look at active listings, you would conclude the market is static. Nothing has changed.
But then you have to look at the crucial metric of months of supply. A year ago, Montague had a whopping 13.6 months of supply.
Which is huge.
Huge. But this June, it dropped significantly to 10.8 months. Even though the raw number of homes for sale is identical, the months of supply plummeted by over 20%. I want to explain this concept for you, listen, because I think months of supply is the single most misunderstood metric in real estate.
Please do, because it dictates the entire balance of power in a transaction.
Think of months of supply as the burn rate. It measures how long it would take to sell every single house currently sitting on the market, if not a single new house was listed, based on the current pace that buyers are purchasing homes.
Right.
If buyers are gobbling up houses quickly, the months of supply drops, even if the total inventory looks high. As a general rule of thumb, a 6-month supply is considered a perfectly balanced market. The scales are perfectly even between buyers and sellers.
Exactly.
Anything less than 6 months, sellers hold the power. It's the seller's market. Anything more than 6 months, buyers hold the power.
So at 10.8 months, effectively an 11-month supply, Montague County is heavily, heavily tilted in the buyer's favor.
Mm-hmm.
Mathematically, it is a buyer's market.
Yeah.
If you're a buyer in Montague County today, you have choices, you have time, and you should have tremendous room to dictate terms and price.
But you're looking at the trajectory of that number, not just the raw data point, right?
Precisely. The absolute number is 10.8, which favors buyers. But the trend line is what matters to market analysts. Moving from 13.6 months down to 10.8 months represents a massive absorption of inventory.
Right.
It tells us that despite 6.55% interest rates, buyer demand is accelerating. The market is slowly but aggressively chewing through that backlog. It is moving back toward a healthier, more balanced equilibrium.
So buyers have the upper hand with an 11-month supply, but the momentum is shifting. Here's where it gets really interesting, the pricing paradox I teased earlier.
Oh, yeah.
I was reviewing the June data for Montague County, and I honestly stopped and checked to see if I was reading a typo.
It looks wrong at first glance.
It totally does. Let's look at what houses actually sold for. The median sales price in June plummeted. I mean, it fell off a cliff. It dropped 13.6% down to $216,000 compared to roughly $250,000 a year ago.
A nearly 14% drop in median price would usually trigger panic alarms.
Right. But then, in the exact same month, the average sales price actually rose by 4.6%, up to $247,661. Wait, let me see if I'm getting the math right on this, because it feels completely counterintuitive. How can the middle of the market crash by 14% while the overall average goes up?
It is a classic statistical trap, and it is the single most important lesson for anyone analyzing rural or low-volume real estate data. It all comes down to the danger of small sample sizes.
Let me test a theory on this.
Okay.
In June, Montague County only had 19 closed residential sales.
Right, very small.
That is an incredibly small pool of data. So if we line up all 19 of those sales from the cheapest to the most expensive, well, the median price is literally just the house sitting in the 10th position, right in the middle of the line.
Correct.
If out of those 19 sales, 12 of them happen to be older, smaller properties, maybe some fixer-uppers that sold for $150,000 or $200,000, the middle of the line gets dragged way down. The median doesn't care how expensive the top homes were. It just points to the 10th house in line.
Your theory is exactly correct. The median simply finds the midpoint of the data set. If the mix of homes sold in a specific 30-day window skews toward entry-level or distressed properties, the median price crashes.
But the average price operates differently. To get the average, you add up the total dollar volume of all 19 sales and divide by 19.
Exactly.
So if, in that same month, three or four of the sales were stunning, luxury ranch properties with acreage that sold for top dollar, say over $1 million each, those massive numbers inflate the total dollar volume. The average gets artificially pulled up by just a few high-dollar transactions, even while the median is sitting in the mud.
You've perfectly articulated why looking at a single month's data in a rural county is practically useless.
Yeah.
When your median and average are moving in completely opposite directions by wide margins, it is a giant flashing warning sign. It does not mean the intrinsic value of dirt and wood in Montague County changed wildly in 30 days. It means the mix of what happened to close that month shifted dramatically.
That makes total sense. So as a listener, if I am sitting in my living room in Montague County trying to figure out what my house is actually worth today, I have to completely ignore June's monthly report. It's way too noisy.
You have to look at the year-to-date figures to find the truth. The year-to-date data encompasses 6 full months of sales, which increases the sample size and smooths out those monthly luxury or distressed anomalies.
Right.
And when we look at the YKD figures in our sources, the picture is much more grounded and realistic.
The year-to-date median is down a much gentler 3.6%, sitting at $241,000. And the year-to-date average is actually down 6.5%, sitting at $324,954. So values have softened slightly across the board, which aligns with the high interest rate environment, but they haven't fallen off a cliff.
Prices are settling. They're going through a healthy process of price discovery and finding a grounded range after the wild speculative swings we saw over the past few years.
So the prices are finding the floor. But the weird part isn't the price. It's how fast that floor is moving. While prices have settled, the speed at which buyers are scooping up these properties is completely defying that 11-month supply narrative we just talked about.
This is where the data tells a truly compelling story about modern buyer psychology and market velocity.
Let's look at the transactional data. In June, pending sales and closed sales perfectly matched each other. 19 transactions went pending, 19 transactions closed. That is a 5.6% year-over-year rise for both.
Right.
But when we zoom out to the year-to-date view, the momentum is undeniable. Year-to-date pending sales are up a massive 40%. Closed sales are up 37.1% compared to this time last year.
Those are staggering volume increases for a rural market dealing with mid 6% interest rates. It shows robust underlying demand.
But here is the most shocking statistic in the entire stack of papers. We have to talk about days on market, or DOM. Last year, homes in Montague County sat, on average, for 138 days before selling.
Which is almost 5 months.
Right, this June. They sat for just 36 days.
That is a 74% improvement in velocity.
It's bonkers. We went from homes languishing for nearly 5 months down to barely over 1 month. And looking at the year-to-date numbers, homes are moving in 87 days, down from 117 last year.
The pace is just completely transformed.
It really is. Plus, sellers are getting closer to what they're asking. The metric called original list price received climbed to 93.2% in June, which is up 4 full percentage points from a year ago. If we look just at single-family homes, 16 of the 19 sales were single-family. They took exactly 36 days to sell, and they got nearly 93% of their asking price.
What's fascinating here is the absolute contradiction this presents to everything we know about supply and demand.
Yeah.
We just established that Montague County has an 11-month backlog of inventory. Mathematically, that is a sluggish, slow buyer's market where homes should take forever to sell. Yet the homes that are selling are flying off the shelf in just 36 days. How do both of those realities exist in the same zip code?
It's like a grocery store where the fresh sourdough bread sells out in 10 minutes every morning, but the stale white bread sits on the end cap for 3 weeks.
Yes.
If you look at the total inventory of the store, the shelves look fully stocked. There's bread everywhere. It looks like a buyer's market for bread. But if you actually want the good bread, it's fairly competitive and gone instantly.
That is a brilliant analogy, and it perfectly describes the current bifurcation of the real estate market. The market is functioning with ruthless efficiency right now.
How so?
Because interest rates are at 6.55%, the cost of capital is incredibly high. Therefore, modern buyers have zero tolerance for error. They are not casually browsing. They are hunting with absolute precision.
They can't afford to take on a project. I mean, if you are paying almost 7% on a mortgage, you don't have an extra $50,000 in cash lying around to fix a foundation or remodel a 1990s kitchen.
Precisely. When a home comes on the market that is priced right, meaning it accurately reflects the current year-to-date comparables, it is turnkey, in excellent condition, and positioned well, buyers recognize the value immediately and they pounce on it.
They know it's the fresh sourdough.
They do. And they know they will lose it if they hesitate. That is why the good inventory is being snapped up in 36 days and achieving 93% of the asking price.
But what about the stale bread? What about the rest of the 219 homes sitting in the active inventory?
They are the overpriced homes. They are the homes where the seller is anchoring their expectations to the peak frenzy of 2022. They are the homes that need significant deferred maintenance, but were priced like a new build.
And buyers are just passing them by?
Today's buyers are completely uniformly ignoring them. Those properties are sitting on the market for months on end, accumulating days on market, and clogging up the inventory data. They are the reason the months of supply metric is pushed up to 11 months, masking the hyper-competitive 36-day reality of the turnkey homes.
If we connect this directly to you listening to this right now, if you are preparing to sell a house in Montague County today, you absolutely cannot test the waters with an unrealistic aspirational price.
Yeah.
Those days are over. You cannot list your home 10% high just to see if someone bites. If you do, you instantly become the stale bread. You become part of the 11-month backlog, and eventually you will have to chase the market down with brutal price cuts. The sluggish days of sitting on the market for 138 days are gone only if you play by the current market's rigid rules.
Right.
If you price it with precision, you get the 36-day sizzle.
It is a market that punishes delusion and rewards realism.
Now, if turnkey suburban homes are the fresh bread in town, what happens when you drive 20 minutes outside of the city limits looking for a place to actually grow the wheat?
That's a whole different ballgame.
It is, because Montague is fundamentally a rural county. A significant portion of the buyer pool is looking out there for acreage, farms, and ranches. And if you are looking for wide open spaces, you need to prepare for a completely different set of physical and financial laws.
The standard residential metrics we just discussed simply stop working when you step off the pavement and onto the dirt.
Totally. Because the data foundation for land is shocking. In the June data from the MLS summary report, Montague County recorded exactly zero residential farm sales.
It is crucial to emphasize that this is not a data error or a typo. It is an actual factual zero.
Right. And in the broader land category, we only saw 10 total sales in June, which is down 9% from a year ago. Now look at the price swings for raw land. The average price per land sale jumped a staggering 70% to $283,126.
Wow.
The median price rose 27% to $106,750. But here is the real kicker, the timeline. Unlike those 36-day residential home sales, land parcels spent a grueling average of 255 days on the market.
That is 8.5 months.
And on top of waiting almost a year to finally close a sale, land sellers only received about 72% of their original asking price.
This specific data set requires a massive amount of context, which is why transparency in reading the data is so important. When we highlight that zero for farm sales, it serves as a necessary reality check for you listening. It proves that rural real estate, particularly farm, ranch, and raw land, moves in highly uneven, unpredictable cycles.
Yeah.
You do not have a steady, predictable stream of identical three-bedroom houses trading hands every single week.
I have to ask about the 255 days on market. Why does land take 8.5 months to sell? That just seems agonizing for a seller. Is it just a lack of demand?
It is not necessarily a lack of demand. It is that the friction in the transaction is exponentially higher. Think about it from the buyer's perspective. The buyer pool for raw land or a working farm is incredibly specialized.
Right. They aren't just looking for a roof.
Exactly. You aren't just selling a roof, an HVAC system, and a fenced backyard. You are selling soil quality. You are selling mineral rights and water rights. You are selling topography, floodplain maps, and agricultural tax exemptions.
You're selling potential, which is highly subjective and much harder to value.
Precisely. And because of that complexity, the due diligence period is massively extended. A buyer cannot just order a standard home inspection. They need environmental surveys. They need complex boundary surveys because, well, rural fence lines rarely match the actual legal property lines.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They need to inspect water wells and do septic percolation tests. All of this takes time, specialized contractors, and money.
And the financing is a totally different beast, isn't it? You can't just walk into a local bank and ask for an FHA mortgage on 50 acres of raw dirt.
You absolutely cannot. Financing raw land is incredibly complex compared to a residential mortgage. Banks view raw land as a significantly higher risk because it does not generate income. And if the borrower defaults, well, raw land is much harder for the bank to liquidate than a suburban house.
Makes sense.
Therefore, lenders require much larger down payments, often 20% to 50% in cash. And the loan terms are often shorter, with adjustable rates. That drastically shrinks the pool of buyers who can actually afford to close the deal.
And that explains the 72% list price received metric. If it takes 255 days to find a buyer who actually has the cash, who actually completes the environmental surveys, and who actually secures the niche financing, that buyer has immense leverage.
They hold all the cards.
Sellers often list their land based on emotion or the future potential of what could be built there, but the market ruthlessly corrects them during the negotiation process. Price flexibility isn't just a strategy for land sellers. It is a mandatory requirement.
It is.
Yeah.
And navigating that requires highly specialized guidance.
Which is exactly why we brought in the contextual background of David Peet and Peet Realty to make this concrete for you. If you are playing in this sandbox, having an agent who actually lives and breathes this lifestyle isn't a luxury. It is the difference between closing a deal and languishing on the market for 2 years. David Peet and his wife don't just sit in an office and sell property. They live the reality. They raise British white cattle on their own land. They care for retired Tennessee Walker's horses that spent their prime riding years traversing the North Texas LBJ grasslands trail system right there in the region.
That kind of lived, boots-on-the-ground experience translates directly into transactional competence. For example, if your agent doesn't understand the intricacies of Texas agricultural tax exemptions, knowing how many head of cattle or sheep are required per acre to maintain that tax status, the buyer could inherit a massive, unexpected tax bill.
Ouch.
Right. If your agent doesn't understand trail access rights or water well yields, you are at a massive disadvantage at the negotiating table.
I look at it this way. Selling a turnkey suburban three-bedroom house is like selling a standard, reliable sedan. You know exactly what it is. You look up the Kelley Blue Book value to find the exact comparables. You price it right, and someone drives it off the lot in 36 days.
Great analogy.
But selling a working farm or 50 acres of raw acreage, that is like selling a heavy-duty commercial tractor. You need an entirely different network of buyers, an entirely different timeline, and a completely different level of patience.
The sedan versus tractor analogy is perfectly accurate. The buyer looking for a reliable commuter sedan has absolutely no use for a commercial tractor, and vice versa. You cannot market them the same way, you cannot price them the same way, and you certainly cannot expect them to sell on the same timeline.
So what does this all mean? We have thrown a ton of percentages, average versus median anomalies, days on market swings, and 10-year treasury yields at you today. Let's synthesize all of this data and wrap up this deep dive with an exact playbook for you, our listener, depending on what side of the table you are sitting on.
Actionable intelligence is the goal. Let's build the playbook.
First, for the sellers out there listening to this in the July heat, your playbook revolves around one word: realism. You have to price your home realistically based on the year-to-date trends, not the noisy monthly anomalies, and certainly not the peak prices of 2 years ago. Forget what the guy down the street listed his house for. Look at what actually closed. If you price it with precision, for the market as it stands today, the data proves you can sell in roughly a month and achieve over 93% of your asking price. Do not be greedy. Be precise.
Precision is the absolute best marketing tool you have in a 6.55% interest rate environment. The market will reward a correctly priced home with unprecedented speed.
Now for the buyers. The playbook for you says that despite the high rates, you still hold the cards in a place like Montague County. You are staring at an 11-month supply of inventory.
Huge advantage.
Use that structural advantage. You have room to negotiate terms. You have room to demand seller concessions, like having the seller pay for a rate buy-down to make your monthly payment affordable. And you have room on the overall purchase price to offset those mid-6% interest rates. Do your homework, identify the homes that have been sitting, and do not be afraid to walk away if a seller is being unreasonable and acting like it's still 2021.
And finally, for the land and farm dreamers, the playbook for you is defined by one word. Patience is mandatory. If you are selling, expect long marketing times of 255 days or more, expect complex due diligence periods, and be prepared for heavy, heavy negotiation. The data shows sellers are often having to settle for closer to 70% of what they originally asked. Price flexibility is your reality.
It is a completely different game out in the pastures. Now, before we sign off, I want to toss it back to you for one final thought. Looking at this massive stack of data, the macro trends, the micro paradoxes, what is the biggest unanswered question you are taking away from all of this?
Well, when we connect all these disparate data points to the bigger picture, it raises a profound question about the very nature of real estate moving forward. We are looking at a massive 74% collapse in days on market for residential homes, down to just 36 days, despite sitting on an 11-month backlog of high inventory. My final provocative thought for you to ponder is this. Are we witnessing a permanent fracture in the real estate market?
What do you mean by a permanent fracture?
I mean a permanent structural division. Moving forward, will turnkey, perfectly priced homes be treated as a completely different, highly liquid commodity trading hands instantly, almost like blue chip stocks, while properties that require work, deferred maintenance, or where sellers demand aspirational price discovery languish in a separate, completely frozen, illiquid market?
Mm.
Because capital is so expensive right now, buyers simply cannot afford to renovate. We might no longer have a single unified housing market.
Mm-hmm.
We might be looking at two distinct markets operating under entirely different economic rules within the exact same zip code.
Wow. That is a heavy thought to end on. Because if that is true, if the turnkey homes and the fixer-uppers have fundamentally divorced from each other, then the x-ray machine we used to use to diagnose the overall health of a local market isn't just murky anymore. It is taking pictures of two completely different bodies.
Precisely. And knowing which body you are operating on determines your entire strategy for survival.
Incredible insight. Well, that wraps up our June 2026 data deep dive into Montague County. A huge thank you to you, the listener, for joining us in the Texas heat today to unpack this mountain of information.
This is a big one.
As always, remember that while data is incredibly powerful, correctly applying it to your specific personal and financial situation is where the real value lies. Mm. We want to remind you that the data discussed today comes from ENTREES, the Texas Real Estate Research Center at Texas A&M University, and Regional Tracking, courtesy of Pete Realty. It is for informational purposes only and is not individualized financial advice. Stay cool out there, find your shade, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.